Hello everyone and welcome to Berlin Companion, a weekly podcast about everything you never even knew you wanted to know about Berlin. My name is Beata and some of you might know me as the woman behind the Berlin history blog called Kreuzberg'd Berlin Companion. Or you might know me from Twitter. Last week we got to know the story of Berlin's Hängeboden, now typically a storage shelf, but back in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, the place where Berlin's domestic servants slept. And the topic of sleep, or peaceful resting, provides both a hint and a kind of nice mental arch to the subject of today's episode. Death. I hope you don't mind, but this particular Berlin tale combines two of my personal favorites, railways and cemeteries. I do promise, however, that this time machine trip will be perfectly safe. So get on board. Several years ago, a German science fiction thriller series, Dark, was the talk of the town in streaming services and beyond. The series was filmed on location in Brandenburg. One of the sites they used was the 206-hectare cemetery Südwestkirchhof Stahnsdorf. Even though technically this second-largest necropolis in Germany, after Ohlsdorf Cemetery in Hamburg, is not part of the city, you will find it 35 kilometers southwest of Berlin in Brandenburg, not far from Potsdam, the cemetery has been under Berlin's administration from the start. In fact, it opened in 1909 to solve an acute problem the capital city was facing. Where to bury its dead? By the beginning of the 20th century, the existing burial sites were full to the brim. With on average 100 people dying each day, there was simply not enough space to inter them. The large old graveyards along Hermannstrasse in Neukölln, the multiple burial sites in Kreuzberg or the Friedrichshain cemeteries, all of them created at what used to be areas outside Berlin to provide relief for precisely the same shortage, ran out of capacities. There were no plots left for the Protestant Synod of Berlin church communities to buy. Obviously, it was more profitable to build for the living than to dig for the dead. Forced to look further out, the Berlin Synod made a deal with Brandenburg, and henceforth, Stahnsdorf has been the last stop for over 120,000 Berliners, not all of them Protestant, with some of the most illustrious names among them. Take Heinrich Zille, Berlin's legendary satirical illustrator and photographer. Painter Hans Baluschek, the Weimar Republic genius of criminal investigation, Chief Inspector Ernst Gennert. He was the man who created Berlin's murder squad and was as much feared by German criminals as he was honestly respected by them. Stahnsdorf is also the final resting place for Berlin's famous urban architect Alfred Grenander, as well as for Max Taut and for Elisabeth, Baroness von Arden, who inspired Theodor Fontane's best-known female character Effie Briest, and of course for many, many others. After the First World War, British and Italian governments each bought empty burial sites within the Stahnsdorf Cemetery to inter the fallen soldiers too. The Southwest Cemetery Stahnsdorf, as well as another large Berlin burial grounds in Brandenburg, Northeast Cemetery, which opened in 1908 near Berlin-Marzahn in Ahrensfelde, did help alleviate the overcrowding problem. However, there was a hook. As you can imagine, in the early 1900s, 35 kilometers wasn't exactly just around the corner. It took people forever to get there, no pun intended, both the deceased and the living. That's why in 1913, Stahnsdorf Cemetery received its own railway connection. Perhaps unsurprisingly, soon enough, the 4.3-kilometer-long S-Bahn line Wannsee-Stahnsdorf was dubbed Leichenbahn, the corpse train. Alternatively, it was known as Witwenbahn, the widow train. The line was used to transport both the dead and the mourning relatives. Front carriages were reserved for the latter, while the back of the train was, well, horizontal passengers, in coffins. After the Second World War, the railway service on the line was quickly picked up again. The cemetery became a burial ground for over 1,000 Berliners killed both in air raids and during the 1945 Battle of Berlin. But not long afterwards, these trains, filled with the deceased and the mourners, had to grind to a halt again. In 1949, the Soviet occupation zone became the German Democratic Republic, or the DDR. An invisible line suddenly separated not only the living from the dead, but also the living from the living. Until 1953, West Berliners could still use the Leichenbahn to accompany their dead or to visit their deceased relatives, provided that they, the relatives, not the dead, had been granted a special permit known as Passierschein. The closing down of the border between East and West Berlin in 1961 meant that the Südwestfriedhof, located in East Germany now, was no longer accessible to people from West Berlin. Eventually, the service was terminated. Its rails were made defunct and partly dismantled. However, a walk through the forest between Wannsee and Stahnsdorf will show you that if the Leichenbahn were to reappear, most of its ghost tracks are waiting for it there, still weaving their ghostly way among the trees. Every first Sunday of the month, Waldfriedhof Stahnsdorf offers tours of the cemetery. You can visit their webpage for details. The link is in the episode notes. You might also be interested in knowing that for a realm of the dead, the place holds quite a lot of life in it too. It is home to numerous badgers, deer and foxes, as well as 16 species of grasshoppers, 52 bird species, 211 butterfly species, and a mind-boggling 311 species of wood insects. Not to mention what's currently Berlin's most common free-roaming large-scale representative of the animal kingdom, wild boar. All in all, the Stahnsdorf Cemetery, which is also a Waldfriedhof, which means a cemetery designed like a spreading leafy park, is a very serene place. Well, for everyone, but for one Friedrich Wilhelm Murnau, brilliant German Weimar Republic film director who gave the world what's still considered to be one of the most blood-curdling horror movies ever made, Nosferatu. Murnau's own grave has been defiled on several occasions, peaking in 2015 when the director's skull vanished from the tomb. But that is a story for another episode. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Berlin Companion Podcast. Please leave a comment and subscribe through your podcast streaming service of choice. And if you like what you hear, you can support the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee. Details are in the show notes. And of course, do return next week for another story from the treasure trove of Berlin Companion. My Berlin Companion books are available via Berlinarium at Big Cartel. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in Berlin.